Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again tonight as well. The blessing to be in this place is just your sense of presence of God. I trust you do. We pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge, and not only for the membership of this church, but for all that would come through the doors, whether it be for one visit or for many visits. We just want you to find the presence of God and receive a message from God's Word, the Bible. And so we thank you for being here tonight. Now, normally on Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on Bible characters, little-known Bible characters, and a message that God has for us through these little-known Bible characters. It's a blessing is what we've been going through. But tonight, because of the ordination service, I just felt led to go a different direction to be able to preach a message that is a little bit more on the lines of what we're doing tonight concerning an ordination service this evening. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1 down to verse 11. A powerful passage of Scripture written by the Apostle Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, so that we might have this truth and learn from this. And I've entitled this message, Things to Know as We Serve the Lord. Things to Know, and it's just not for ordained servants of the Lord. It's not for full-time believers only, servants of the Lord. It's for all Christians. It's for all believers. Things to Know as We Serve the Lord. And so stand with me. We're going to read together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 down to 11. The Bible says in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples, a living example of to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." What a great truth of the Bible, "for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this great privilege it is to be able to assemble together here in this place with your presence in this place, to be able to hear from you. And I thank you, Lord, that each one here has taken advantage of the opportunity to come, and we have assembled here looking to worship you and to hear from you. And I pray, God, that you would once again use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Things to know as we serve the Lord. There's many things right here, and we're just going to be kind of glancing through this and just hitting some highlights. We cannot fully preach everything that's here, but because there is so much here. But as we looked at these 11 verses, verses 1 and 2, Peter admonishes pastors, those that God has called and placed over his church, and each congregation is referred to as the flock of God or the children of God, the sheep, and God has called and placed a pastor in every local New Testament church, and that pastor is to represent the Lord, and that pastor is to take the words of God and preach and teach them to the congregation. And so that's what we find here, that Peter admonishes pastors to feed the flock of God, acknowledging the importance of spiritual food for believers. In order for any live animal to be healthy, then they have to eat properly. For us to be healthy spiritually, we have to feed on spiritually healthy, good food for us. And that's the Word of God. The Word of God is the food that feeds the people of God, the flock of God. And so as you come to church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God, it's the message that God has for us, and it actually feeds my soul. It feeds my spirit. It helps me to be spiritually healthy so that I can win those spiritual battles. And whether you realize it or not, before you ever win or lose a physical battle, you have won or lost a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle takes place before the physical battle takes place. And in order to win the physical battles, as God would have us to, we have to win the spiritual battles. If we're going to win spiritual battles, then we have to be fed the Word of God. And so we find here, that's why the church is established for the children of God, as a place to assemble ourselves together and to worship God, and a place where the Bible says Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He has promised during this church age, if we have established the church according to his doctrine, and we come with excitement and anticipation of meeting with God, you can mark it down. If you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that has the authority, looking to the authority of the Bible, that looks to Jesus Christ as the head of the body, the church, then you'll find his presence there. And as you're being fed the Word of God, it will strengthen us. And so we find here that Peter admonishes pastors. As we are ordained into the ministry, we're ordained to be able to go and to preach the gospel, to go out and teach the Word of God. Whether it's here in Indianapolis or in Indiana or the United States of America or anywhere around the world, as we have surrendered to serve the Lord, wherever God places us, then we must be looking to preach the Word. And preaching the Word is feeding the flock. It's what the believers need. In verse 6, if you look down a little bit there, in verse 6, he reveals the need, a need for everyone to do this. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Oh, if we could only have more time to go into that, the humility before God, realizing that God knows more than I know. Amen. Some people will not humble themselves to think that anyone else knows more than what they know, that anyone knows more about you than what you know about yourself. But can I tell you this evening that God is almighty and God understands more than what you realize. God knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. And his designed will for our lives is what we have need of. And if we would but just humble ourselves to be able to let God's will be done in and through my life, what a difference that will make in our lives. And so we find here that Peter is also presenting this truth. First of all, you need to be a part of the church. And as you're part of the church, as pastors, you need to feed the flock of God. As a flock, we need to come in anticipation of receiving what God has for us. We need to come and humbling ourselves before the presence of an almighty God. Preachers and laymen alike need to remain humble, dependent, surrendered to God and his will. What an important thing to know. What an important thing to know. Verse 8, 9, the Bible reveals, Peter here reveals to us, Peter identifies our enemy and then the way to defeat him. Sometimes we look around, we think that people are our enemy, and yet people are not the enemy. Now, Satan works through people, and we have to be careful about it because they're not innocent in that. They yield to that, but the people are not the enemy. No matter who the people are, Jesus Christ died for all humanity. And we ought to have a love for individuals. We ought to have a love for people, no matter where they're going, no matter what's going on in their lives. Jesus died for individuals here in America and around the world. And what we need to do is have that very same love that God has and have a desire to help people to know the Lord. If people truly get saved and truly yield themselves to God, that their lives will change. They will align their lives with the will of God. And so we find here that Peter identifies our enemy and then the way to defeat him. Who is the enemy? Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he's the ones that's against us. And that's the devil. And he's as a roaring lion. All you have to think about is how a roaring lion feasts on prey. And I don't know if you've watched any of the nature shows. I love those. My wife don't. She always closes her eyes. And, you know, but I just like that. It's nature. And you see that roaring lion out there and how that they'll get the prey and they'll devour the prey. And the Bible says, as you see a roaring lion, understand that that's just like Satan wanting to devour you. And so he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's the enemy. A spiritual battle, that's what you fight first. If you lose that, you've lost to the devil. And once you lose to the devil spiritually, he will control your life physically. Wow. But he tells us how to defeat him. Verse 9. Whom resist, and here it is tonight, steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That idea there of steadfastness. That idea of steadfast is firmly fixed, steady, constant. Being steadfast. Tonight, as we're looking to ordain Rob into the gospel ministry, Rob, there's nothing that I can challenge you by than what God has challenged us by here, and then that any greater than what Peter is challenging us here with in 1 Peter chapter 5, and that is to be steadfast in the faith. Be steadfast in the faith. Be steadfast in what you believe. Before you can be steadfast or firmly fixed or steady or constant in what you believe, you have to know what you believe. That's why these pastor friends came down, and that's why we took the time this afternoon is to sit across from you and to question you as far as what you believe, question you about what the Bible teaches. He needs to know what he believes, as all of us need to be steadfast in our belief. We find that Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 21, prove all things, and hold fast that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Make sure that you have proven what you believe by the words of God. The Bible is the final authority that we have to stand by. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not even the congregation. It is the very words of God. The very words of God. The Bible is the final authority of God that we have represented, representing God. Almighty God has preserved His Word for us. He, first of all, sent His only begotten Son, who was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. And before Jesus would have left, he would have established his church. As he established his church, he gave the instructions to his apostles. And as the apostles went out and the word of God was being completed, by the end of the apostolic age, we had the full revelation of the word of God. We had not only the Old Testament revelation, but we had the New Testament revelation. And for some 2,000 years, we have had the full revelation of the word of God. We have had the testimony of Christ that was been preserved for us through the scriptures. And we've had the entire Bible, what God has preserved for us, readily available, that we might know the very thoughts, the very mind of God. We don't have to rely upon man to know what we believe. We don't have to rely upon the philosophies of man, because that will vary with man. That will vary in one generation from another, will vary in what they believe in morality, in what they believe in whatever it might be. But the word of God remains the same. The very same Bible that we're looking to today in this 21st century has been around ever since Christ. The full revelation of God has been around. That is this church age that we're living in. And this church age will continue to have God's word. The Bible says, my word shall never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. God has promised to preserve his word for us. And he has, and that, Rob, needs to be the foundation that we look to for our faith. Amen. Know what you believe. Prove it. Make sure it's coming from the very words of God. Cast out any doubt. Satan will come, and he'll come in your heart, and he'll come in your mind. And that's that spiritual battle that you'll face, and the Satan will try to convince you that God is not real. Satan will try to convince you that you don't have to be in church. Satan will try to convince you you don't need to read your Bible. Satan will try to convince you of everything that God wants you to do. Satan will try to convince you not to do it. If you don't know what you believe, then he'll fill your heart and your mind with doubt. As Peter wrote this, there was a time that Peter had doubt. Go back with me to Luke in chapter 22. Peter learned this truth that he would afterwards write from the Lord himself. In Luke in chapter 22, verse 31. This was right before Jesus would be taken and crucified. And he addressed Peter and he said this, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that was Simon Peter. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now what is that, sifting you as wheat? Taking away your usefulness for Christ. Sifting the wheat. Taking away the usefulness, leaving the chaff. Satan has a desire to take away your usefulness for Christ. But I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What does he mean? When thou art converted, not saved. Peter had already believed in Jesus Christ, but he allowed doubt to hinder him when Christ was taking into custody to be crucified. But he says, I prayed for you. And when you finally overcome that doubt, serve me. Accomplish what I have for you to accomplish. From that point forward, Peter never doubted again. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he had failed, and he cried, looking to Christ, he never doubted again. And we find that he wrote 1 Peter chapter 5. And he said, be steadfast in your belief. Don't let the enemy, don't let the adversary place doubt in your heart and your mind. Keep the faith. Not only that, be steadfast in your convictions. In verse 2, feed the flock of God. If you're going to preach it, you better believe it. If you're going to help them to develop convictions based upon the Word of God, then you better have convictions based upon the Word of God. And as you preach it, you better be convinced that it's true. If you're not convinced it's true, don't preach it. Be steadfast in our convictions. Make sure your convictions are based upon Bible, and then don't compromise biblical convictions. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody persuade you to do otherwise. If it's biblical convictions, then they will never change. God is an immutable God. That means that God never changes. If you base your convictions and how you have determined that God wants you to live your life, if it's based upon the Bible will never change. And so if your convictions is based upon the Scriptures, then your convictions should never change. Keep the faith. Be steadfast in your belief. Be steadfast in your convictions. Base them upon the Word of God. Make sure that you're not just doing it because of mom and dad. Make sure you don't have it just because it's what somebody else taught you. It's far more than that. You better get this Bible right here. And you better make sure that you know why you believe what you believe. And why you take the stands that you take. And once you've established biblical convictions, don't ever betray them. Be steadfast in our convictions. Temptations will come. And Satan's going to try to get you to compromise those convictions. Tell Satan to get behind you. And you stick to the convictions based upon the words of God. Be steadfast in your belief. Be steadfast in your convictions. Be steadfast in our discipline of self. The only one that can control you listen to me, is you. And you know where it starts? It starts in the mind. The only one that can control what you think is you. It's a free will that God's given all of us. Be steady in our discipline.